Oh boy. Hello and welcome to another episode of BJ Shane's Board Game Alliance. We're on number 69, which means I get quite the intro. I am your host, Joey. Okay, so the last two times we gave him some tongue twisters, or we gave him some tongue twisters, so this time we won't give him a tongue twister because that wouldn't be fair to always give him tongue twisters. I mean, come on, would it really be hard to do a tongue twister every week? Well, yeah. Well, so we won't do that this week. We'll give him any. We won't give him any tongue twisters. Damn it! I hate you guys. Well, you can figure out that the paragraph was huge, and I got so shocked by it that I am Joey Deez, your host. Oh, across from me is perfect. Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
Sean Epperson of Thing 12 Games joins us as well.
Oh, hey.
And the great Vicky Barcelona has returned.
Hello.
Yeah, I feel like we three never have problems saying hello.
I know.
Gosh, Joey, no, I don't know what it is. It just must be me. I'm turning my mic off.
I'm in control. You cannot.
Well, we told you no alliteration this week.
Yeah, well, you know, I got, what, two sentences before I died? Yeah. You know, I appreciate it, though.
Actually, there was absolutely no periods in that intentionally, so.
I realized that as I got halfway through it, and I was like, I see what they did here. But I had screwed up so many times by that point. I was like, you know what?
I'll give it to you, though. You actually ad-libbed in the middle there to make it sound like that's how it was written.
Yeah.
And you did better.
Hey, so, you know what?
Better than I expected.
Creativity at its finest. Thank you. Guys, it's been a little while. What games have we been dipping into? What have we been playing? What have we been losing at?
Well, first I'm going to play a game called Let Them Know How to Talk to Us.
Oh, that's right, because we didn't tell them how to reach our lovely podcast, did they?
I love that game.
It's a good game.
This is what happens when we're full force, the four of us, finally back together.
Yes.
Yeah. Train wreck.
Yay!
We all want to be captain.
We're steering-ish.
Can I be the caboose?
Yes, you can.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
I want to be the wing. Josh, how can people get a hold of us?
Go to bjgeeknation.com. You'll get all the podcasts, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more. You can also check out Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and I stepped on it, but so I'll say it again. You can get all the more.
More!
And check out YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes.
That's right. Woo! You can find us just about anywhere you can find a podcast. Josh.
Yes, sir.
Sean.
Yeah.
You guys been playing some games?
We have been.
One or two.
Oh, yeah?
I don't believe it.
We do it, you know, sometimes.
You said sometimes, but I have a feeling sometimes might be right now. Okay, maybe not right now, but...
Well, I did bring a game over
there. I was going to say, I saw some little tiny box with dice, I assume.
That's what she said? What? Sorry.
Where have you been rolling?
Sorry.
Just kidding. But yes, what have you guys been playing? What has been entertaining you these days?
Oh, well, we got a chance to play an older game. Came out in 2012?
I love that that's
or
older.
Or 15.
I thought you were going to say, like, 80s.
Right. Older. Not oldest.
Oldish.
Kemet by Matigo Edition.
Which, fun fact, I know we talked about recently we were a part of the Mox Gauntlet, and one of the first times I think I joined, Kemet was one of the games we played. Were you guys competing on that tournament?
I was not.
I was not. I was listening on the podcasts.
Did you dominate?
No, actually, there was a hot minute where I was like I was in second. And I'm like, if the game ends right now, I'm coming in second place and I'm okay with this. And then the one guy who had never played it before, who read all the rules, who had like some sort of
first time Freddy
kind of like mind palace situation. I think he might have been Wizards of the Coast or something.
Probably.
He comes, he's like, yeah, I've never played it. I just read the rules. And then he went in and he's like, oh, okay, so you know, I can do this, 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 and this. Yeah. He immediately does that and I'm in fourth.
Well,
I'm just like, mother effer!
Well, that's a great thing about Kemet.
Oh, okay.
It's essentially just an area control game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's European.
But it's very aggressive.
Now, you mean attacking aggressive?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You have to.
In Kemet, you cannot turtle. If you turtle, you will maybe live, but have 0 points.
Yep. And is that really living?
That is not.
No.
You need all the points. In Kemet, there's interesting temporary points. If you control a temple, you get a point, but it's temporary. If somebody takes the temple, they get the point. Your pyramids, which give you power, great power, you level those up to level 4, you get a temporary point. But if somebody strolls over and crushes your pyramid, it's now their point, and you have to hand it to them.
The thing with Kemet is that once you get, what's the amount of victory points you're trying to get to?
8 or 10, depending on what you want to play.
So once you get, let's say you get to 8 victory points, I win. You do not yet until nightfall. Correct? Or until, like, you have to finish the round, basically. You can't just hit those points and automatically win.
That's exactly right in the original rules.
That's the one I've played.
The Toss Eddie expansion. Ooh. The way Matago does expansions is they give you, yeah, here's an expansion with four different options of play.
Oh.
So the Toss Eddie expansion added, wonderfully, the Black Pyramid, which gives you Black Pyramid tiles, which is a wonderful mixture of just attack and defense and more monsters and two different new sphinxes that are the Ram's Head Sphinx and the Ooh. Angel Sphinx, like the Pegasus Sphinx almost. But they gave an alternate victory condition where it's, I think it's just at the end of the day phase. You don't have to go into the night phase. I can't really remember. That one's
How many
there.
Phases are there?
Just two phases, day phase, night phase. Oh. And you just repeat that as you go through.
We don't even get to eat breakfast?
Come on. So you do. What happens when you hit the night phase?
When you hit the night phase, that's when you reset your board because we all have these five action tokens you get. And you get new DI cards, Divine Intervention cards, which are wonderfully overpowered little cards that you can play either during battle or on your turn to gain advantages.
I was going to say, with a name like Divine Intervention, I better be blowing something up.
Oh, yeah. Usually, yeah.
Do you remember your favorite one?
As far as the DI cards, I love in a full player count when everybody has to kill their guys. Not all of them, but...
like sacrifice to gods?
I get to recruit a guy. Every other player loses a guy.
Oh, man. That sounds brutal.
There's a lot of really awesome strategies with the game. Like, if and depends on what color you kind of want to go towards. Because there's in the main base game. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's there's the white, blue, and red.
Right. Red is very aggressive, very attack based. Blue is defense based, and white buffs you. It makes things cheaper. Buy extra cards. Get extra stuff at night. That kind of stuff.
So it depends on what strategy. Some people like he was saying though, it's probably best to kind of go towards attack. But if you do that, it might limit the resources because you're trying to collect different tiles. And if everyone's going towards that color, you might not get it.
I was gonna say this looks huge. This game has so many pieces.
Yeah.
Well, the what's great about it is you're looking at the monsters right now, and there's the scarab, the giant scorpion, the phoenix, the war elephant. There's all these great pieces, all these great monsters. Well, Matago also makes a game called Cyclades.
Okay.
Which it's Greek-based, completely different gameplay, but it has monsters in it too. Well, Matago put out an expansion for both games to where you can interchange the monsters in either game.
That is smart.
That was really
good. Wow.
And you said war elephants, and I love war elephants.
Okay, calm down, Cersei.
Yeah, well, Cersei didn't get into war elephants because apparently in Game of Thrones they don't travel well.
It's like she wanted the elephants, yeah.
Not on water. I don't know.
Well, they apparently travel fine in the desert.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, duh.
Gosh.
And over mountains, just ask Hannibal.
Oh, hey. Oh, this sounds pretty good. What would you give it? What do you give a little board game score for this bad boy?
Oh, 10.
10?
Easy, yeah. Because it's such an aggressive game, this is a game where near end game, you want to go last, not first.
Really?
Because it's you action selection, so you want to be the last guy to march.
Oh, and I guess you hold victory points, so you kind of want to go last so you don't get them all taken from you also?
And there's ways to get permanent victory points. You can get power tiles based on your pyramid. Like, if your blue pyramid's on level 3, you can buy a level 3 power tile that's basically a victory point.
Oh, okay.
You get permanent victory points by attacking. If you win a battle on attack and have guys left, because very often you win a battle, but your guys are still killed.
Oh, well, that's
it just
never
evens
fun.
Out.
Yeah.
So one of the things that really helps with that action selection turn order is if, like, say, Joey, you and Josh are going at it and you have your battle, well, I'm going third, so now I'm going to sweep in whoever wins that battle, and I'm going to take them out because their forces have been reduced, and they're a little weaker now.
Yeah, that makes sense because, I mean, obviously you can kind of hedge your bets a little bit where you're like, you know, I was going to attack this person, but if Joey kind of kills a lot of Josh's units, and I'm feeling a little aggressive, I like it. That's kind of a cool game. It's a little bit different than kind of the ones we've been hearing about.
And the board, while it's a big board, there is nowhere that's really too far from anywhere. They're very large spaces, so it's a very small world in Kemet. And trying to Days of Wonder, small world. It's a great game. Like I said, it's very aggressive. Get five people and play it. And now we are gearing up to play the new expansion, Seth, which changes it into a one versus many game.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Seth is a overpowered god with his own pyramid, with his own power tiles, and all the other players must unite in order to destroy Seth.
No one defeats the Seth.
The cool thing about it being a European game is that there's no actual words on any of the game pieces or anything like that. And I think that's a strategy. If you think about Europe, there's a lot of countries within driving distance.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of languages right then and there. So if you make a game with one language, it kind of limits your options. So you can definitely download. I remember when we played it for the Mox Gauntlet, BJ went ahead and printed. And oh, okay, I don't know if it was actually BJ, but he had asked for somebody to print, and he cut out and like stapled all the rules and all what the definition of each of the tiles meant in English. And you can do that. You can download them in any language. Basically.
Wow, that's helpful, cool. And probably a very fat pamphlet based on the amount of things I'm seeing.
Actually, that bad. Yeah.
No, when you play the game, if you don't print out everything, you actually have a book you pass around because until you get familiar with the iconography, you do need to look up some things and what does that mean?
Or your lovely soldiers will not make it.
But that's what makes this game a great 10 out of 10 for me is that it is this Euro feeling game with this huge theme, this total American style. There's dice in it, but those are just your pyramids. You don't actually roll them.
Oh, I was wondering about that. Well, you know what? You've convinced me either way, Josh. I'll tell you that much. Because I like games that get 10 out of 10 ratings because I don't have as much time to play games, and I'm bad at them. So I want to play the best ones.
Well, that is Kemet by Matigo Edition. You can find it everywhere.
And it is a big, big box. I'm currently in the process of trying to fix all my board games in my bookshelf. I don't know where I'm putting Kemet. I have no space for Kemet.
Put it on top.
It needs a throne, its own bookshelf.
Yeah, I need to get... I have my china cabinet coming in. I guess it's just going to go in the china cabinet.
Yeah, you know what? If, as long as you can find it, Vicky, you can play it.
Yep. It's a pretty box, too. It so really, you could display this game.
Ooh, I like a good display. So especially the little pieces.
If you want to borrow it for me while I get a place to display it, you can borrow it, Joe.
Can I borrow the War Elephants?
Yes.
Yes.
You better. Yes. I didn't get the elephant. I got the I got the giant snake that rendered other monsters' powers useless.
Oh, I can go with snakes. They're pretty cool, too. Sean, what about you? What have you been battling?
Let's see. Well, actually, Wildlands. So speaking of attacky games, Wildlands is a game by Osprey Games designed by Martin Wallace. Now, Martin Wallace is known for making games that are very Eurocentric, very heavy, crunchy games. This is kind of not that, but it's very strategic. So there are four different factions in the base box, and what players are doing is essentially vying for either trying to collect these crystals that are placed out on the board, or you're trying to eliminate enough players that you get enough 5 points. So 5 points is kind of the end game, and you get points by killing a guy, or you get points by finding your crystal. And it's got basically two phases of the game. There's this interesting setup where you get 10 cards, and there's all these numbers on the board. You pick 5 of those cards, and those are going to be places that your guys are going to go. And you take those other 5 cards, and you give them to your opponent. And then they're going to use those to place out your crystals, or they're going to use those to place out crystals. So you don't really know where your crystals are going to be, but you know where your opponent is going to go for their people.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
So I know where you're going to be, so I can try and position myself in certain places, but I don't know where the things that my crystals are going to be at.
And how do you actually figure out where your crystals end up being? Do you just have to explore the places?
Well, once everybody's card's been divvied out, then you've assigned each character to a specific spot with these cards face down, then you flip over the crystal cards and then place those crystals out on the board so you see where everything is.
Oh, okay.
You see where all the crystals are, but the players remain hidden until you choose to reveal them. You got to reveal at least one per round, but they're all hidden, so you actually don't know. Like, oh, there's a crystal all by itself. You may get over there and 4 guys pop up around it.
Oh, man, okay.
Because you can choose to reveal an opponent or reveal one of your characters anytime. So on one of your turns, you have to reveal one guy. But then, say, you're moving over to a spot where I've got a guy hidden. I can, in response to that, I can reveal my guy, and then suddenly we're attacking. We're doing this battle.
Ooh, okay, you so you can fight.
It actually plays really easy. Like, the rules are pretty simple. They keep line of sight to being a simple thing. Plays really quick.
And it uses the iconography again. There's no text on this one either.
Yeah, there's a little handy card. There's basically like three or four different things that you can do. You're either moving, or you're going to shoot, or you're going to do a physical attack. But you're using this special cards that your faction has. Your faction has a specific design. So like my guys might be able to fly, or yours might be really good at physical combat. Josh might have one that's really good at area effect, where everything in that space, you know, gets damaged.
Oh, okay. Because I'm seeing this, and it kind of reminds me almost of like a Clue design in the sense of how you're looking at things, where it's like you can look down a hallway, or these are, I guess, are caverns and stuff.
Yep.
But you kind of, this is like a lot of like dungeon crawling with a big dungeon with crystals, but then sneaky Batman-looking figures.
There's some really cool figures in the game, for sure. The other interesting thing about this game is that your cards have usually two to three different actions on them, and so you're choosing which character to utilize with that card. And that interesting play, like, well, do I want to... You can use as many cards as you have in your hand. So I can activate a bunch of different guys, or I can, you know, use several actions with one guy and have him run around the board and do all this crazy stuff. But then I'm losing the abilities for those other people. So it's really like, you know, that strategic choice of who do I want to use at what point to be strategic.
Yeah, that's tough too, because you can attack people. So how do you know when you need to be attacking or collecting?
And those cards are also used for defense too.
Oh, wow, okay.
So if I overspend and I, like, blow through my entire hand, then someone comes over to attack me, I'm going to draw three cards at the end of my turn. But it's like, well, now my options are really limited, so you have to be careful that you don't overreach.
Oh, all I'm seeing is BJ having one of his guys get jump surprise attacks and being like, damn it!
I get to do a really cool thing that I was really hoping to. We were playing a game, and I had the area effect guys, and I actually killed one of my characters and damaged one of the other guys, but by killing my character, I kept him from getting that victory.
Oh, that's a smart move. I see. So you essentially, you don't get the point, but they don't get the point.
Exactly. So yeah, I lost a guy, but I kept him from getting a victory point. I ended up winning that game too, because I was able to kill my guy and keep that victory out of his hand.
See, Sean wins, although his poor teammate did not, you know, he went down with the ship.
Sometimes you gotta sacrifice your guys. Sacrifice the queen to save the pawn.
Well, that's pretty great. I mean, it looks cool. I gotta tell you that much. I mean, a lot of color, a lot of great little figures. And
and it's not long. Like, it plays like 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
I don't think we even played that long.
I think if you're doing four players, it's probably like an hour, but like a two-player game, you can knock out in like 20, 30 minutes.
See, that's great, because I always have that awkward moment where they're like, you're meeting up with all your friends, but not you're not all there. So you have like two to four players, and you're like, well, we don't want to start, you know, a three-hour game. You know, we've got maybe 30 minutes, maybe 45. Sounds perfect for that.
It's super interactive. It's so good. I've been really happy with this one.
What would you give it out of 10 awesome board game stars?
Oh, gosh. I'd probably give it a 9.
Nice.
There's some expansion stuff that they're coming out with, more characters, so I'm really interested to check those out.
Oh, I love the word expansion, because it's essentially our favorite word. More.
More.
Well, I did get to play one sort of board game. I call it a quick party game, really.
That's totally a board game.
Go Nuts for Donuts.
Yeah.
The donut-themed game in which apparently I can't win. This game is a lot of fun. You essentially get a bunch of cards and five little rows, we'll call them, and these cards essentially allow you to pick donuts. But the problem is everyone has to vote for what donut they want every round in the dark, so no one can know. And if anyone shares a vote, they don't get the card. Well, let me tell you guys, there are five rows, there are four players. It's going to be a little bit of overlapping a lot. Let me tell you, I don't think I got a donut at least 10 times. I swear, I picked the same card as my sister did like four times in a row. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking down, I'm like, I understand how this game works now. There's a reason why these glazed donuts are only worth 1 or 2 points. And there's a reason why I have no points. Oh, it was crazy. It was a lot of fun. My sister did end up actually winning, though, because she got the donut holes. And the donut holes multiply the more you have of them. And let me tell you, there was a move where BJ was ahead, clearly winning the game. And one of the last donut holes comes up. And then we all look at each other. And he even goes, he gives the speech. Well, you know, you could take a look at the board and you could see who's got all the donut holes. So someone's going to have to stop her from getting all the donut holes.
It wouldn't be a game with BJ if there wasn't a speech.
Right?
Why isn't it ever BJ that someone?
Yeah, no, he never is. And so, of course, I pick which one I want. It's the three-pointer. I'm getting a little greedy because I'm behind. I can see I am far behind. Of course, he goes for the three-point donut. And I look at him and I go, well, what did Sarah go for? Oh, the donut holes. Shocking. And he goes, well, I just thought that everyone would know that they've got to put it down for her to stop her from winning. I go, yes, BJ, that would be all the players in the lead who can't lose the game if they just pick the donut holes. She got 25 points.
How many did everyone else
that.
Get?
No, for oh, that. Oh, just for that just combination of swing points from what BJ could have gotten to what he gave her. She got 45 points at the end of the game. I got like 14. And her boyfriend got like 12 because we were both having fun trying to do this combination. I had these little donuts that give you 5 if you have less than 10 donuts. So I was playing the long game of trying to pick other people's cards that they wanted because I was at 9 and I didn't want to get to 10. And then I got to 10 and I was like, these 2 donuts are worthless. I'd eat them right now if they were in front of me. But...
yeah, that game does make you hungry.
It does. You really need to bring real donuts to play Go Nuts for Donuts because afterwards, all the cute little cards are going to inspire you to eat sugary goodness.
Hey, Joe, can you say Go Nuts for Donuts 5 times fast?
Go Nuts for Donuts, Go Nuts for Donuts. My tongue hurts.
Good day.
I cannot.
It's you know, you'd think day. With all your practice, you'd get better at this.
Well, you, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was actually designed by Zach Eagle. Zachary is a local designer in the Seattle area, and his game was picked up by Daily Magic, funded on Kickstarter, and then GameRight came along and bought it from Daily Magic. And now you can find this game literally anywhere because Game Right games tend to be at a lot of the stores. Like when you go to places like, you know, the beach and, you know, those sort of places, a lot of times those little stores will have little games and whatnot. And I often see Go Nuts for Donuts there, and it's really cool. It's worth picking up.
Yeah, it's fun and easy, and it's simple to pick up. And there's like a good social aspect to it because it's kind of like screw your neighbor in the sense that you kind of both know what you're going to go for. And you're like, is one of us really going to shy away from getting this donut?
No. I don't know, like, necessarily the game mechanics, but it reminds me of Sushi Go.
Yeah, very similar. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
Well, Game Right does Sushi Go, too. So.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Fits their family perfectly.
No wonder I like the art. What about you, Vicky? You been playing anything?
I've been playing Finishing Up My House. So
that's a fun game. Do you roll any dice?
No, so
is it a worker placement?
No. Yes. Because I'm telling, okay, you need to move that upstairs for me because my back hurts because I'm old. No, it's interesting, though, because a lot of the things I've been kind of trying to figure out is game display. Because I did not realize over the last year and a half of having most of my games in storage that I've accumulated bags and bags, you know, like those little grocery, like reusable bags. I had like 5 filled with different board games.
Wow.
And I'm like, where did these come from? I'm not even buying that many.
That's like coming home from a con for BJ.
A little bit, yeah. And so, because I started trying to organize everything over the last couple weeks, I've been organizing everything in my garage. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to put all the big bins of board games together. And then I'm like, oh, I have a bag of board games right here. And then another bag. And then another bag. Because I forgot BJ gave me all of his pandemic games. He's like, do you have the expansions? I'm like, I don't know. I think I have one. And he's like, okay, well, here's my pandemic games with the expansions. But they're all mixed together. And I realized I had more expansions already. So I basically have double games now.
Double games.
So
time for a math trade.
Right. And I'm trying to figure out how I want to display my games, because I have my party games, which are usually the smaller boxes, and then I have like my favorite games, and then I have other games that I haven't played yet that I want to test out.
That's called the Shelf of Shame.
Yes. Those are currently in bags. Grocery bags. They're on the ground, because I'm still waiting for some more furniture out of some storage units.
They weren't. It wasn't enough. They were shamefully in shrink wrap still. You had to put them in another bag.
Yeah.
Wow.
How dare you?
There's one game I bought recently that is still in the shrink wrap, because I haven't gotten a chance to play it. And we actually played it at for XCon.
Yay! She did it!
Suck it, everyone. And it's actually Azul, but it's the second edition.
Oh, Azul Stained Glass.
Stained Glass. Have you played the Stained Glass version?
I don't know. I think it's so, good. But I really did like it. I think if it's the newest version, that's the one
I
played.
Okay, because
so.
I haven't played the older version, which a lot of people say is superior, but that one's still in shrink wrap, so I still really want to play it, but I have no one to play it yet because I'm still living by myself until I have some roommates move in.
I secretly have a dream. You guys know that old school library rooms that everyone, like all those rich people would have in their mansion where it's like a chair and there's books everywhere, right? It's the same thing, except there are no books. It's all board games.
Yes. See, that's me too, except half comic books, half board games. And I kindly have that in my room right now.
You both need to come see the vault.
Oh, yes. God. I'm so scared and like intrigued to see his vault.
I like the vault. Do I have to open it, or will you open it for us?
I will open the door for you.
All right, I'm in. Although, if we were George Clooney it and do like an Ocean's 11 into Josh's vault.
That would be cool.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to get to some quick starters, Sean. What do we got?
Yeah, baby. We're going to cover your kingdom.
Oh.
Hey. by Grandpa Beck. Grandpa Beck is a local company, which I didn't realize until finding this out.
It's not your grandpa?
So Cover Your Kingdom is essentially a set collection style game, and it's fantasy themed. Now, they have a game before called Cover Your Assets, but this one is kind of a continuation of that theme. This takes place in a fantasy world. There's all these crazy creatures, and there's a lot of comedy in this game, a lot of puns in the names of these things.
Look at these cards.
Like the Cyclops.
Oh. To me, this game lacks depth. Great card.
It's very much a take-that-style game where, as you place cards down, you can actually steal cards from other players that are sitting on top. And there's kind of a battle there based on like that whole set collection thing. $25 for the base pledge, and they're at 57K of their 5K goal. So there's lots of cool stretch goals that they've got for this. They've actually unlocked all their stretch goals. And this is one that plays 3 to 6 players, about 30 minutes. This is a good family game. This is good for, you know, people that like really highly interactive games. Really cute, really fun.
I got to read you guys these last two cards. Okay, one of them is called the Leprechaun Man. And it just reads, "It's magically malicious." Like, all right, love it. And he's got some crazy stuff. But then,
oh my God,
the brag on. So not to brag, but we funded in under 3 minutes.
Would it be Braggin?
Braggin.
Braggin.
Like Braggin, Braggin.
Yeah, but it's your bro. He's your Braggon.
Shut up, Joe.
It's this dragon smoking going, I know, right? 3 minutes. this game looks hilarious.
Yeah, I've played Cover Your Asses before. It's a really good game, so I'm really excited for this one.
I'm really curious.
It's on June 27th, too, so get in there.
Where Grandpa Beck games, where particularly in Washington, do you happen to know or not yet?
They're over across the water.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Brummer's so we need to try and get them in.
Heck yeah, we do. Yeah. They have Pixies, which is a pixie pig. I mean, this is flying pig.
How is BJ not back to with the Volk Int?
Oh, God.
It's a Groot, but not. BB
up. Oh, my God. This is fantastic.
He's wearing a yellow shirt, so that's good. He's in charge.
The unicorn. Okay, this is too good. I got to stop reading these. Sean, what else do we got?
Next up is Untamed Feral Factions. This game kind of reminds me a little bit of Smash Up. Basically, you're going to be taking a group of factions and bringing them together and then playing and battling with each other, having these wars. Unlike Smash Up, where you're basically competing over an area, you're literally fighting each other. This game is 2 to 3 players, and it plays in 20 to 30 minutes. However, they did say that if you buy 2 copies, that you could actually play up to 6 players. Designed to be to kind of play like a collectible game, but not be a collectible game. So they've got 9 different animal factions in this game. So there's over 100 combinations just in the base game alone. There's a $29 base pledge on this one, and they're at 44K, so lots of stretch goals they've been unlocking on this. Really cool art. The animals in this game look really cool, like really anthropomorphic. Very, very good stuff here.
You can also get a nice playmat if you're smart and buy it.
This one ends on July 3rd, so another one to get in there quick. Last up is Shayola Warring States by Bad Comet. This is definitely the board game style type of game. Interesting, so it's a dueling game where you're going to be growing your kingdom, but there are different ways that you're going to be able to do that. There's a lot of dice placement and resource management, some engine building, but the ways that you can win, you're either going to destroy your opponent or you're going to achieve a peaceful cultural alliance, essentially.
Oh, alliance.
So you can either win by peace or you can win by war.
I'm going to go with war. You want to know why? Because the first thing I saw in here were more war elephants.
War elephants.
Yeah. I feel like that's the name of the episode. War elephants.
Hey, chaos has erupted, Vicky.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job with this art. Very like a Indian style theme here going on. $39 for the base pledge on this, but there is a $56 deluxe edition. And oh baby, this deluxe edition looks deluxe. All kinds of extra upgrades for your components, you know, wood pieces and metal coins and all the stuff that I know Josh loves.
Yes, I do.
They're at 45K of their 15K goal. So, yeah, they've been smashing through all their stretch goals. Fantastic looking game. It's been getting a lot of really good accolades from places like the Dice Tower and Man vs. Meeple and Geek Dad. High recommendations on this. So
you can get gold coins.
Gold coins, yeah.
They've got me already. I love treasure.
And there's some extra stuff that you can add on, some expansions that allow you to play with more players and a little more variability. Definitely a really cool looking game. Ends on July 5th.
Well, do we have anything else, or is that our wrap-up on War Elephants? I mean, sorry, board games.
There is a War Elephant cover. If you get the deluxe edition, you get a sleeve for the box, and it's the War Elephant.
So. Well, if someone's buying this, I demand the deluxe edition, and I demand the War Elephant.
I don't think I'm going to play Kemet with you now.
Well, you know what,
you're
Josh?
You're going to steal my War Elephant.
Well, hold on here. How can I steal something that's already mine?
Oh,
okay. It might be your Kemet, but they were my War Elephants.
He starts with the War Elephant.
Yeah. You know, I hear it's the best unit because, one, it already has the word war in it, and two, it's an elephant.
It's true.
And is there anything bigger than an elephant in war?
In Kemet, there is.
What
so
is
I
it?
Did like war elephants.
Phoenix, scorpion, all these
Phoenix, scorpion? Oh,
no, you know, not Phoenix. And a scorpion.
You have a new unit here.
And a scarab.
Ooh. Scarabs like sand probably more than elephants do.
These are all giant people can ride them size creatures.
Ah. Oh, okay. Can you ride a phoenix?
I guess most of the right underwear. Asbestos.
This is my flame retardant underwear. Are you guys ready? No. Heck yeah, Vicky. Play that music one more time for us. Woo!
I'm going to do it again?
No, this is what I'm riding on my war elephant on.
Oh, okay.
Well, on that note, get yourself a war elephant. And Josh?
Well, play nice. Unless you're playing Kemet, then attack.
Attack!